want to just start by thanking the York Center for International and Security Studies for organizing this important debate. It should be obvious from this turnout and from the energy associated with the question of this debate that this is a very important subject, and it's really going to be just the beginning of a conversation and not the end of a conversation. And I think there's been a very challenging atmosphere in Canada, certainly on university campuses, certainly on the York campus, to be able to discuss the issues of Israel and Palestine and Canada's relationship to the issues of Israel and Palestine in an atmosphere where we learn, where we listen. And I really want to thank the York Center for International Security Studies for organizing this in this context. This issue can sometimes be quite emotional. It can be quite difficult, but I hope that this debate can contribute to establishing some renewed legitimacy to the question of academic boycott of Israeli institutions, and that it'll be taken quite seriously. So thank you to my fellow panelists, and thank you to Clem Marshall. I really want to address, in these brief introductory remarks, just two key points, and I'll try to do that succinctly, but this will really just be headlines. The first is just the context and specific nature of the call for academic boycott, and the second is the common objection that the case for academic boycott of Israeli institutions is anti-Semitic. The term anti-Semitic, I'm using these words are not, we work with the best that we can, they mean different things in different contexts. By anti-Semitic, I'm using the notion that it means racism that targets people of Jewish belief or Jewish culture. So no one who supports freedom of speech, freedom of expression, academic learning can come to the question of boycott without considerable thought and reflection. And the specific context of the call for academic boycott of Israeli institutions is a recognition that the relationship between Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories and the experience of Palestinians is not one of two equal sides. This is a situation of occupation. It's a situation of Israel being one of the most powerful armed states in the world. It's backed by the most powerful armed state in the world, very strongly, the United States, with a rate of foreign per capita aid that is the highest of any foreign country in the world. It's backed very strongly by Canada and countries of the West. And the Palestinians, on the other hand, are among the poorest in the world. And the discussion of boycott of Israeli institutions hit the Canadian public largely in a kind of unusual way. It was when university presidents across Canada, the U.S., signed statements of opposition to a position supported by British lecturers and university teachers in the support of an educational campaign within their trade union, their labor union, in the summer of 2007. And there was actually quite a bit of distortion and unclarity at that time that has made it harder to understand what this discussion is about. But why those presidents, the Canadian presidents were about 23 and American presidents, there were several hundred, took a position against that was on the grounds that it was in defiance of freedom of speech. And this is an interesting proposition given that we've just come out of the war on Gaza, when those very same university presidents were deafeningly silent when a university in Gaza, the Islamic University, was leveled by an Israeli attack. There was no comment about academic freedom. There was no notion of protest. Israeli scholars David Gordon and Jeff Halper, for example, objected to what they saw as blatant hypocrisy with the absence of any reply from North American university presidents about the war in Gaza and the attack on Islamic University. And what they stated was the following. Taking into account that Palestinian universities have been regionalized because Palestinian students from Gaza are barred by Israel from studying either in the West Bank or abroad, the educational significance of the Islamic University becomes even more apparent. According to Dr. Carmen Nablusi, who teaches politics in Oxford, in Britain at St. Edmund Hall, the activities of the Israeli government towards the university and educational life in Gaza that was displayed during the recent war is actually consistent with a pattern of what she calls scholasticide. According to Carmine Nabuthi, education is the most important thing for Palestinians. It is part of family life, part of identity, and everyone knows this. And in a refugee camp like Gaza, every child knows that in those same school desks sat your parents and your grandparents, where traditions carry on. Evidence recently published by the United Nations in a research report, confirms this when an investigation into the attack on UN sites in Gaza by the Israeli Defense Force included three educational institutions, three schools, which were identified in the UN report as being definitively the response of an intentional campaign of attack on those schools. So the Palestinian call for boycott actually is taking place directly from Palestine and coming to us internationally. And the reason why this is important, and it's important to know, is because in a real sense what we're discussing today is how are we going to respond to the Palestinian call from researchers and academics and students who, in an overwhelming unified call that has been repeated, are asking us to hear them and to boycott Israeli institutions, academic institutions, which are supporting this military activity. Now, is this a movement that is anti-Semitic? Is it racist? Well, arguably, there's no evidence of that at all. I've been a part of this movement, many of us have been a part of this movement, and certainly if we saw something that looked like it was racist or anti-Semitic, we wouldn't want to support it. But it is actually a movement that stands against oppression, it's non-violent, it's educational, it's attractive to those who identify with social movements and anti-racist activity. And the demands that are being part of the call for academic boycott of Israeli institutions are consistent with the general call for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. These are ending the occupation and dismantling the wall, the illegal wall, recognizing the fundamental rights of Arab Palestinian citizens of Israel to full equality, and respecting, protecting, and promoting the rights of Palestinian refugees to return to their homes and properties. All of these demands have been stipulated by the United Nations on repeated occasions. The United Nations is aware of this, but the United Nations as a body has proved to be ineffective in implementing these demands. Therefore, there is a call for a kind of United Nations from below to actually indicate that Israeli institutions cannot operate as if business as usual with this type of oppression taking place. Finally, I'll just indicate that there's also been a question of how we characterize the Israeli state in this context. Israel presents itself as a Jewish state. It claims to represent the people of Jewish faith and Jewish origin all over the world. Many of us who are Jewish object to that identification and see Israel as basically representing itself. It represents an ideology. It's called Zionism. It's an ideology that can be debated. It can be challenged, just like any other ism. It should be subject of legitimate discussion from Jews, non-Jews alike, in order to be able to understand the state of Israel. And Israel has been compared in this context to not a unique and exceptional state, but a state that actually should be seen as similar to other states, and therefore should see that the type of racial profiling, the type of divisions that take place, are more similar than different than the type of experience that many people have identified as associated with South Africa before the early 1990s on the term apartheid. It's an Afrikaans term, it means separation. It means distancing. We could call it that it means Jim Crow in the South, that it means reserves in the Canadian context. But that analogy, that notion of the apartheid analogy, has been a subject of considerable debate. It's one that I hope we can continue to discuss here. But if it was legitimate to boycott universities and to support a boycott of South Africa under the period of apartheid, which overwhelmingly people who are progressive and liberal-minded understand now is a necessary step, then certainly it would be arguably supportive and necessary to similarly support Israel, support the boycott of Israel.